Patrice Collins, and welcome to the Career Brand Blog Radio. I'm so excited today. We have been working through a particular series designed to truly help women, especially women in leadership. And so to that end, last week, if you recall, if you haven't heard the show, you might want to go check our archives. Last week, we spoke on Breathe. And Breathe was dedicated to really looking at all the pressures that face women in leadership. We talked a little bit about stats. We talked about the education and that women have and that they are doing so many things that are exceeding the males in the workplace. However, when we look at who are in those executive roles, it is truly disproportionate on how many women are taking those seats. So to that end, today we wanted to build off of Breathe and really go for Prepare. So today's session, so excited that we have back with us Kathy Gooden-Mitchell. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm really pleased to be back one more time.
It is phenomenal. Kathy has a rich background in human resources, and so, of course, couldn't find anyone better to do this particular series. So let me give you a little bit of background on Kathy again, and then we're going to jump into the show. And, Kathy, I think we have a little feedback coming in, background noise coming in from your surroundings.
So okay.
Okay. Sounds like I don't know if you have the show on as well as you're online, but we're getting a little feedback.
Oh, dear. No.
Now you're clear. Okay. Okay, so let me tell you, it'll be fine. Let me tell the audience a little bit about you. I know she has such a wonderful CV that it could take a good portion of the show to talk about all of her accomplishments. But just from a functional perspective, Kathy has a background in human resource management and executive management coaching, employee relations, employee engagement, career transition and coaching, benefits management, and talent acquisition. What does that mean? That means that Kathy has truly a rich background in human resources from all avenues, and she's able to identify what is successful at helping individuals move up in a corporation. Her background includes her bachelor's and her master's degree from Purdue University, and she is Strategic HR Excellence Award. She received the Strategic HR and Excellence Award. That's fantastic. 2015, she was one of the leader nominees and a finalist. So congratulations on that. That is something I know it took quite a bit to get to.
Thank you.
One of the things I truly love most about Kathy was her desire to help women professionals and executives in the workplace. And so she founded Executive and Professional Women's Alliance DFW. So when she looked around to say what was out there for women in leadership, you know, what was available to them from a network perspective, whether they're working or in transition, you know, because it's a whole different world once you get to certain levels. When she didn't find anything there, she founded something herself, and within a couple months, she was up to over 100 members. So that really shows just what the need is for the type of organization she founded. Okay, so.
Yeah, Latrice, let me just say, currently we're up to 190 members just since May, and we do encourage everyone to come look us up on LinkedIn groups or look us up under Yahoo groups as Executive Professional Women's Alliance DFW.
Now, that's fantastic. I know she also has, you said you have, if not a summit, I'm sorry, what did you say you also have? You're planning next year? I know it's not all sketched out yet, but what did you say you were planning for next year?
Next May is going to be our anniversary, and instead of just regular meeting, we are actually planning a women's leadership symposium that is going to be held, as of right now, I don't want to say where, but it's going to be very central located. And we will hopefully be having some dynamic speakers to be speaking specifically on issues in women's leadership.
Fantastic. So if you haven't done it already, go into LinkedIn, join the group, and be part of those announcements, because I tell you, I have met so many dynamic women through Kathy that you really want to be a part of this group and grow with this organization. Okay, so let's get started. So, Kathy, last week you provided not only information for women on how to breathe, you sent us quite a few links and tools to help people really get a foundation of who they are, right, kind of getting an understanding of themselves. So right now, let's transition. When we're looking at preparation, what do you think are one of the foundational things that they need to do when it comes to preparation? What's the first thing?
The number one thing I think that women need to do is to establish their core values. Excuse me. Dr. Jason up at the Kellogg School of Business at Northwestern, one of his number one key elements that he uses, and I have a firm belief in, is that you have to know you before you can lead yourself, and you have to know how to lead yourself before you can lead anyone else. So it's very key that someone understands who they are in order to promote themselves and to lead others.
Okay, and let's elaborate a little bit on, so some people, especially, you know, when you find a person that has gone through so much in life, accomplished so many careers, and led so many people, that all of a sudden, especially if they've been trying to really spread themselves to satisfy everyone, it might be kind of hard for them to say, you know, who am I and what is my core value? Are there any exercises you recommend that they do or they try in order to help narrow that down for themselves?
Absolutely. There is a way that they can actually get to their core values, and this goes back to just brainstorming to start with. So the first thing you do, you get a piece of paper, you write down everything that you hold valuable, and it can be the smallest thing all the way to the largest thing. You know, how do you think that you feel about things? What are important to you when you sit right down and think about it? And then once you get all of those words listed out, then you have to reevaluate. And you have to think, you know, is this really important to me? Is this something I can live without? Is this something I can live with? And you have to answer those questions of what does this really provide to me in order to narrow it down. And I think most people probably have anywhere from 3 to 5 core values that they stand on, they live by, they have to have in their life, or they cannot make decisions, they cannot function.
That makes sense. That makes so much sense. So remember to consider when you're doing your core values, you're also looking at different aspects of your life. So what is your value when it relates to your family, to your job, to your spiritual well-being, your mental well-being? In other words, really defining that this is who I am. You know, I am a person who I adore my family and will do everything possible to take care of them. Now, if you know that's the case, if that is one of your core values, then when certain things up that clash with that, you'll realize that's against my core value. The same would be, I believe in excellence in the job. If you're a person who strives for excellence, that's a core value, because then the things you touch are going to always hit that level. So to Kathy's point, you brainstorm it, put it on the paper, but remember when you start whittling it down to make sure that you've not just looked at it from one perspective, not just as a mother, not just as an employee, but look at yourself holistically to determine what are your key core values.
One thing else, Latrice, I do want to take one step further. When you're looking at your core values and you've narrowed them down, I think you have to validate that those truly are your core values. And the way you can do that is you can ask yourself, you know, the last decision I made at work, did I use these values or did I go against these values? Was that decision based on weakness or strength of mine? You can look at that also in your home life, in your community life, your religious life. Every piece of your life, it should be the same, because we don't switch from one core value to another just because we, you know, go from home to work or to, you know, the gym. We all have this core to us that, as you were saying, affects all of our life, validate it. And if for some reason we find that that core value is not being used consistently, I question, is that really a core value? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. You really need to rethink and reevaluate until you get down to those 3 to 5 elements that are truly your core values that you stand on.
You know what? The other thing to that, Kathy, is that it may also be the answer to why you are in such a disheveled state. So if you find these are your core values, but based on the nature of what your job is having you do or based on the nature of certain relationships, it's clashing with your core values, that exercise may be the answer to why you're feeling so unbalanced. And so it's a good point to be a measuring stick to say, you know what? I see what's going on here. This is where I am out of alignment with who I am and who I believe in, what I believe in, and I have to now get myself back into alignment.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that many times we do these, we use these core values consciously and subconsciously, but if we knew what our core values were, I believe that we could use them more consciously in our decision-making process across the board.
Absolutely, absolutely. So this kind of, so now that we know there's a foundation that must be set, it is key in order to be successful in life, in your relationships, in at a job. You have to identify yourself, which came last week. Breathe, stop, take a moment to learn yourself, then assess what your core values are, because now that's your pillars. That's what you're going to hold to. So, Kathy, when we talked off show, you talked about that it's also important that people start identifying a plan now to prepare themselves for moving forward. And I know in my company we call those blueprints. So can you tell me a bit, tell me what you feel would be kind of the structure of what that blueprint looks like?
Okay. Well, you're absolutely right, because you don't start a building, you don't start a project, you don't start a business, you don't start anything in the business world, especially, without a blueprint. You have to have a plan, and that goes into detail as to how you're going to get somewhere. And if we can actually design a blueprint for our success, that would be a great benefit to us. I think the first thing that we need to do is self-reflect. And I keep going back to know thyself, self-reflect here, because there's so much that we have to learn about ourselves in order to design and develop our strategy for success. We have to know about what our knowledge is, what our skills are, what our abilities are. And this goes beyond our education. Education is vital. We need that. But also, what else do we know? What else, what other skills have we developed over our lifetime? And what are our true inherent abilities? You know, we need to write those down and assess those so that we truly understand what those are providing to us. I think the next element for that would be you have to understand your business acumen. And if you are not a person who has a good business acumen and you want to become a leader, I think that you need to develop that. And, again, we're going to talk about gaps here in just a few minutes, and that could be potentially a gap. We have to understand, you know, how do we get along with people? Because if we are not a communicator, if we are not someone who can really listen and understand people, then, you know, our ability might not be where it needs to be, and we need to assess that. And then again, we need to look at the job we're trying to get itself, at the criteria, the responsibilities, and the design of the job so that we understand if we are meeting those needs. And that's that gap analysis that we have to do when we self-reflect on what we want and what we have in our toolkit in order to make that job happen for us.
Yeah. You know, interesting, when you and I were talking prior to this call, this is how you know great minds think alike and how you know that this is a path that works. So Kathy and I were talking about this very thing, and I told her, I said, Kathy, this is exactly what's in, there's a leadership manual that I have. You can find it on thecareerbrand.com, and it's around career blending blueprints for leaders, and it's exactly what Kathy is talking about. I mean, you have to first really look at your knowledge, your skills, your abilities, and then break it down into categories that matter. It's not just about knowing your particular role. It's those relationships, right? It is knowing how processes go, you know, and you have to get that because that helps you understand how strong you are a commodity for any organization, right? And then
that's
to
true.
Her point,
absolutely.
And to your point, education is not everything, but man, it is something. There are people who think I'm so knowledgeable, I don't need a degree. Well, if that next role requires a degree, then you need a degree. So, you know, you can't get past that in some fields.
That's true. And, you know, there's the rare situation where a company wants you so badly or they need you in a role so badly that they change the job description to meet what you can bring to the table. That does happen, but it's so very, very rare. I would encourage everyone to do that analysis on who they are and as far as, you know, what their skills and they bring to the, bring to the table, because those elements determine, you know, what we need to work on in that gap. And your companies are not going to fill that gap without having those specific things, you know, to lean upon.
Right. And let me tell them just right quick. So especially because we have a full range of people listen to the show, and some people may not realize why that educational piece is, why companies don't bend as much on that piece. And that is because if you have a standard, a requirement for a role, and you flex that requirement, and I'm not talking about when they said what's nice to have or what's helpful. I'm talking about it says must have. When you flex on that and decide to start hiring people who don't have that, you then have opened a gate. You have opened a gate that from now on you set a precedent that said you can offer that job to someone who is not qualified. And then they're opening themselves up for cases on, they should have hired me, I didn't have this, so the other person didn't have it. People don't want to get in the midst of those type of lawsuits. And so they normally, even if they love you, they normally do not flex if you don't have that required either experience or education. So we're saying that because be real enough with yourself to write down what is absolutely required for the job so you can say, check, I got that.
Yes. Honesty about you is vital. If you can't be honest about, you know, your experiences, your background, and what you can bring to the table, then I don't think that it's going to be an easy road to convince other people you can do it. I think everybody needs to be very, very honest in those elements. And I think then we can put our best foot forward when we do happen to go in front of the boss and say, I want a promotion, and this is the job I want, and this is what I bring to the table. If you're not honest, you can't really do that well, and he's going to know it. And I think everybody senses when someone is not being honest in what they can bring to the table. So I do encourage everyone, analyze it and be honest in that analysis.
Sounds good. So we got about 8 minutes left. Let's switch over because the other part, I love the other half of this that you wanted to talk about. So besides the self-reflection on all the knowledge, skills, and ability and your criteria, meaning education criteria that's required, what about the other side of the blueprint?
Oh, I just love this. This is probably one of my biggest topics that I like to talk about, and that is nobody goes it alone. You know, you look at all of the great people that have ever come along. They had mentors. They had supporters. They had teachers. They had professors. They had somebody either going before them, paving the way, or walking hand in hand with them, pushing them along and guiding them. So I would love for anyone out there to think about getting a career trust partner. And this is plural, not singular. And it can be an individual life trust partner. It can be role models. It can be people you look up to. But we need to be connecting with people who we can learn from in order to build ourselves into the success we want to be. There's many, many successful women out there, men out there, and I encourage people to connect with them. You know, we network all the time, but sometimes we think just getting a connection or a name is enough, and it's not. We need to have that deep understanding and communication and connection with those individuals so that they understand who we are, what our dreams are, how we're trying to get there, so that they can actually provide us with maybe ideas, coach us, provide solutions, also provide additional connections in the right direction in which way we are going. Because honestly, if you put all of this together, it's a plan, it's a strategy for success.
And let me preface with what Kathy just described, because I think this is really important. Because I know if Kathy's anything like me, I go out to network groups, and people, you know, they'll look at women leaders, and they want to almost overwhelm them with fast 1-minute speeches on this is who I am, and I want you to know about me, and they just whoo, they go on and on, right? And while it's fantastic learning new people, it doesn't feel authentic that you care about the person or you want to know about the other person. So to Kathy's point, networking and meeting individuals to really work with, it's more than just sharing quick information about yourself. It's really about building relationships, getting to know the individuals. And most people are pretty honored by that.
I find that people are very honored when you walk up to them and say, I consider you a role model, or I really would feel very honored to have you as my career trust partner. I know I can learn a lot from you, or you can become a great sounding board for me for my ideas. And I think a lot of times people think, oh, you have to have somebody within the company that they work for to be that kind of mentor, and you do not. Actually, I think it's much easier if you have someone who is outside of the business that you work in, because you can be very honest with them. You can talk about frustrations. You can talk about ideas. You can talk about dreams that perhaps would not be easy to talk about if you were talking to your boss or someone there in the office. So, you know, these career trust partners are people that you stay with, or they stay with you throughout your career. And you, I think we find that it's not just a one-way situation where you're just taking information or working, having them work with you, but you wind up where they develop the trust with you that they start reciprocating and asking you for help, direction, encouragement, or whatever. And that's the beauty of networking, is that element of building your own community, those people who you really depend on and you trust. And let's be honest, sometimes we can't talk about things with our spouses that go on, or our dreams. We don't quite feel like we want to put it all out there to them, because they have a lot invested in the success that we have. But sometimes there's still a little bit of tension there in the home. So these outside folks that you can depend on and be totally open with, I think, are very valuable to our success.
I love how Kathy describes those mentor coaches partners as career trust partners, because these are individuals that you build a trust with, and you're partnering with them on so many levels. Now, Kathy, are we saying that they should only have one, or they should only look for one for their career?
Absolutely not. I think that we need more than one, because there's different elements of our life. Whether it be, again, we talk about home life, we talk about community, we talk about religious life, we talk about work life. There's so many elements, and I don't think that you can have just one. I mean, you wouldn't think to take your coach in business to the gym with you, because more than likely that person is not going to know what you need to do as in exercises. So, you know, you want to have people who are specific in the area that you're trying to develop, And I think more than one is wonderful to have, and I think that they can each one can build upon the other that we have, and it's a building block kind of scenario here. Think of you're building a building, and you don't just have one floor in a big skyscraper. You have multiple floors, but there are different specialties that go into that building. So you need people who can build. You need people who are electricians. You need all kinds of specialists. And that's what we have to develop in our life with these Career Trust partners. They can be those specialists that step in and help us make that a success.
Okay. So here's the other thing to close the loop on the blueprint. So Kathy has described on fantastically on how you look at your core values, you describe how to write that out, identify what yours are so you have that as your pillars. And then to look at creating a blueprint where first you're doing some self-reflection compared to the job you want. So looking at a job description of the one you want and really doing some deep dive analysis on yourself to say, do I have the knowledge, skills, abilities, and criteria to do that job? And then thirdly is finding that career trust partner or those career trust partners. Because there might be different areas. Somebody might be a great negotiator. Somebody might be excellent at being an analysis. So you're finding the people who have skills that you're looking to obtain in order to partner with you to get there. But the big thing with the blueprint, the huge thing about the blueprint, is that you must create a plan that each one of the people you're working with, you have identified where do you want to grow and how will you know you've gotten there. So if you want to be able to grow in negotiation skills and you're working with somebody to do that, you should be able to see a difference in how effectively you negotiate in a certain period of time. So it's not just you all are talking for talking's sake. That's good, too. But there should be a plan etched down, somewhere written down, of what you're trying to accomplish by a certain date, what skill you're trying to enhance. Anything else you want to add to that, Kathy?
You did such a wonderful job in summarizing. I think that is absolutely it. And I do encourage people to, number one, be honest on everything that they're doing and to be open for people to lead you and give you that advice. Sometimes we get a little bit tense whenever somebody maybe positions something a little bit unusual to us or maybe ruffles our feathers a little bit. Don't, thank these people. You are asking them for their help. So be open, be honest, and be gracious because these folks really have provided the best of themselves to you.
Very nice, very nice. Now, I'm excited to announce that the Career Brand has a new tool that's coming out that falls right in line with what we're talking about, and that's called the Career Brand 360. So the tool that we have launched in just a few weeks, if you go to thecareerbrand360.com, thecareerbrand360.com, you can get on our mailing list. And we're talking there about how to go online, take an assessment to evaluate your career brand. But what's more powerful is that you have people you respect to actually also go in and answer those questions. It takes about 15 minutes. And when you're done, you get a 20-page report that shows how what your brand looks like compared to how you see yourself, compared to how other people see you. Talk about a powerful, powerful tool to be able to really help you see where you have blind spots and where you have strengths. So now you use that in addition to what Kathy has described, and boom, the sky is the limit to where you can go if you execute the plan to get there. Kathy, we only have a few seconds left. Would you share with them one more time how they can get in contact with you?
Absolutely. They can go to the Executive Professional Women's Alliance of DFW on LinkedIn groups or Yahoo groups, or they can reach me on LinkedIn.
Okay. And, again, this is Latrice Collins. You can reach me at either latrice@thecareerbrand.com or info@thecareerbrand.com. Thank you, guys. Until next time, it was wonderful, and we look forward to taking you to that next level. Have a great day.